Hi, this is the Big Crusade Podcast. My name is Chidera. Thank you so much for joining us on another episode. Last week, we talked about self-motivation, everything you need to know about it, and how to motivate yourself. Today, I'll be talking to you about self-awareness, what the Bible has to say about it, of course, the benefits to your mental health, and how to become and improve your self-awareness. This and many more on today's episode on the podcast.
This is the Crusade Podcast. On here, we talk about Christian lifestyle and how to keep your sanity in check. On the Crusade, our campaign is that the mental health of a Christian matters. We advertise attitudinal rebranding, and the Crusade offers you relatable stories, thought-provoking topics, life-changing conversations, and very relevant Bible solutions to aid you live your best life yet. Tell your friends about the Crusade.
Self-awareness is as basic as knowing who you are, understanding the things that you think, and how you feel at every point in time. And we can't talk about self-awareness if we don't talk about self-discovery first. Now, self-discovery, who we are in Christ, begins from knowing and understanding the mind of God for us. The basic thing of this season that we have been talking about is the Christian, his self and his mental health. And we have come to understand that self has a lot of impact on the mental health of any individual at all, not just the Christian. That said, we have to understand that understanding what we know and what we understand plays a very vital role in how we react to ourselves. Right, so self-discovery is just that point where you get to understand who you are, stuff that you're made of, your strength and your weaknesses. Self-awareness is your ability to use that information to your own good. Right, now the second step is actually understanding who we are. We are everything Jesus is in him. A part of the Bible says that, let this mind which is of Christ be in you. That means that we have the mind of Christ in us. And that means that as Christians, we are able to think just like Jesus does. It also means that the only difference between Jesus and us is that we live in the world with flesh. But apparently, logically, we are joint heirs with Christ according to the salvation work that he did on the cross for us. So this is the role of self-awareness in the Christian man or woman. Self-awareness prevents us from sin and helps us overcome temptation and resist the devil. A Christian who understands his identity in Christ is never intimidated by the lies of the devil. Self-awareness prevents us from sin. If you understand who you are as a Christian, the level that you operate from, and knowing that you have same authority that Jesus has in heaven here on earth, I think you will see sin as a very disgusting and demeaning thing to do. And trust me, I understand that temptations abound, and it is most human to fall into temptations or be tempted. But intentional self-awareness, intentional, because sometimes we are only self-aware at that point where we want to use it for something that is really going to discomfort others. Remember that we preach against discomforting other people in a bid to satisfy ourselves. We have boldness to face life when we are self-aware. Like I said earlier, self-discovery is finding out, and self-awareness is making use of the information that you have found. Self-awareness is basically being conscious about your identity, how you feel, your character, motives, and desires, and being intentional about how these qualities come to life, about how these qualities affect you, your relationships, and the people around you. It means paying attention to patterns of thoughts and lines of action. It's possible to ask that, how has your life been, or how have your thoughts gone from the past 2 months, let's just say for the past 2 months, you find out that some people really find it difficult to track how they have been thinking. And that's why, before you know it, someone portrays a particular action or becomes a certain thing without realizing that that is what they are becoming or that that is what they are doing, because they have lost track of their pattern of thoughts, and gradually thoughts become who they are. Remember the saying that I think, therefore I am. So if you lose pattern, if you lose a track of the pattern of your thoughts, you tend to gradually become what you have been thinking about, whether you keep track of the pattern or not. That is why it is very important for a Christian to be self-aware. That way you're able to know when you're beginning to fall into temptation. If I begin to think about a particular person in a very bad way, and the first day comes, the second day, the third day, if I am a self-aware Christian, I begin to know that the devil is trying to use my thoughts against me. All right, so self-awareness means paying attention to that pattern of thoughts and how they affect your action. Now, self-awareness takes courage. This means that self-awareness demands us to face ourselves instead of avoiding the hard part. Now, do not confuse this with self-condemnation. Self-condemnation is that part where you have been drawn in self-pity and you just have to condemn yourself for everything that goes wrong in your life, whether it is of your making or not. So let's not confuse self-awareness with self-condemnation. The thing about self-awareness is that you get to that point where you have to tell yourself the hard truths that no one else might tell you, that people might find difficult to tell you because it's going to be hurting. That is why self-awareness takes courage. You have to get to that point where you can tell yourself that this is wrong, and you really take actions to right that wrong. Now, how do you become self-aware? Or if you're already self-aware, how do you improve your self-awareness? The first point is that you have to pay attention to what bothers you about other people. Why do you keep complaining about a particular trait in several people? That means it has a lot to say about you. I read a post on WhatsApp saying that most times people who talk about bad energy going away from them might be bad energy themselves, but because, you know, they feel like everything is external and everything that affects them negatively has an external source, they keep complaining about bad energy. Meanwhile, the bad energy springs from within. So if you begin to get worried and bothered about a particular trait in different people, you have to pay attention to it and make sure that it is not coming from within. Make sure that the problem is not you. Practice mindfulness. Mindfulness and meditation, sometimes they are placed hand in hand. I can't really say they are the same thing. There's a slight difference. But mindfulness is that point where your level of intentionality increases to the highest point. You get such that you're mindful, you're careful, you want to know, you're keeping track, you're up to date about everything that is going on in your head, in your body, you get, in your spirit, in your soul, everything about you, you get. Now, pay attention to the negatives. I was scrolling Instagram one time and someone said that you have to discard the negative thoughts, you know, negative emotions. You don't have to feel them. You don't have to give it time to materialize in your life. Now, I strongly disagree with that, and I'll tell you why. Most times, the negatives are a sign that something negative is about to come. I don't know if you understand that. Most times when you feel a bad emotion or when you have a negative thought, it's an indication that there's something worse, if not happening already, is going to happen. If I have a negative thought about someone, I have to pay attention to it, think about it, find out the best scenarios, the worst case scenarios, settle the matter, so that if anything happens, just in case, I am already ready for it. Pay attention to negative emotions. Feel it. When I talked about self-harm, I said that most times people are scared of feeling a bad emotion. That is why they interpret it physically and they end up hurting themselves physically. Now, when you pay attention to the negative emotions, you find out that all these things are fleeting. They are very, very fleeting. If you start to feel an emotion, before you know it, another emotion comes up. And so you don't have to rely on your thoughts and emotions to rule your life. Self-awareness demands that you have to pay attention to everything that goes through your body. Evaluate it before you decide whether to discard or to swing to action for the cause. Now, draw a timeline of your life. There is something I do most of the time. I just sit back and I pick out a particular time in my life and I try to recall most of the things that happened during that time. Like, I think it was last week, I decided to think about my 10th year in the world when I clocked 10 years and everything that happened between my 10th and 11th year. And I was just trying to recall all the events, you know, things that happened. I tried so hard to remember. Now, drawing a timeline of your life helps you in such a way that you're able to know how far you've come, how much you have improved, what you have to do to get better, and what you have to drop to improve your relationship with people. Because actually, the whole thing about life is your relationships you get. So drawing a timeline of your life helps you to keep track of your growth process. Of course, thinking about my 10th year and right now, I can see a very big difference. I can see how much I've grown, and I am so proud of myself. Self-awareness demands that if you do that, you get better personally, in your personal growth, in your personal growth and in your relationship with other people. Now, the final point on how to become self-aware or improve your self-awareness is to listen to popular opinions about you. Emphasis on popular opinions. Why popular opinions? Because I feel that if so many people are saying a particular thing about you, or if so many people are saying so many things that leads to the same conclusion about you, it is something that you have to pay attention to. See, I didn't say you should pay attention to gossips or to fake news or, you know, bad belle people. I just had to use that word. You don't have to listen to everything. But if you hear something for the first time, especially the negatives, if you hear something for the first time, you hear the second time from a different person, you hear the third time, you hear it up to the 20th time, it calls for a line of action. You have to do something about it. You have to look inwards. Same way, you have to pay attention to the positives. I've had a lot of people say that they love the way I play with words. They love the way I write. They love the way I communicate. And I'm really paying attention to it and seeing ways that I can improve, you know, to keep satisfying my audience. That is how to become and improve your self-awareness. Now, of course, this is not going to be very appealing if you don't know the benefits of self-awareness. So I'm going to tell you, benefits of self-awareness includes clearer thinking and better decision making. I think this is very, very logical and self-explanatory. If you begin to pay attention to yourself and think about how to make use of the information that you found from self-discovery, it clears your thinking, it improves your decision-making. You find out that there are some people that take a year to take a decision on something that someone else would take just a few weeks or even an overnight. This is what self-awareness does. It improves the rate at which you make better decisions, and it prevents your head from getting cramped. You've ever heard about head cramps, like brain cramp rather, that point where you're thinking and everything just clashes in together and you're confused all over and you don't even know, like, you just lose your sense of direction. Self-awareness prevents all of this. Now, the second benefit of self-awareness is that your moods are improved. When you realize that this is how much power I have, this is how much authority I can exert on my own life, this is how much control I have, this is how much control I don't have, when you begin to see these truths and accept them and use them accordingly to better your life and the lives of the people around you, you find out that you feel happier. It's It's a pure logic. You just feel happier. You feel more fulfilled. You feel more enthusiastic about life. Self-awareness also improves and calls for effective communication and better relationships. How can I overemphasize on this? Being better, feeling good about yourself, helps people to feel good about you too and encourages them to feel good about themselves. That way your relationships just keep getting better. And another thing is that, like I said earlier, self-awareness takes courage. If you're able to communicate the truth to yourself in a way that it doesn't tear you apart, you find out that you can communicate the truth to someone else in a way that it wouldn't tear them apart. You know the thing that people say, that truth is bitter, and that way they just communicate in a very rude manner and break the person who is receiving the information. If you're self-aware, you will always be able to devise a means to communicate without hurting the other party. An episode is never complete without us looking into what the Bible has to say about what we're talking about. So today, as we're looking into self-awareness, what does the Bible have to say about self-awareness? Does the Bible have anything to say about self-awareness? We'll find out through 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 16. It bluntly says that you have to keep a watch on yourself. I think that is the best way to define self-awareness. Keep a watch on yourself. Keep track. You know, don't lose guard. Be updated about yourself. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 5. How did the people of Corinth have the gospel and still did plenty things wrongly? They were not aware of their new being in Christ. So this is a call to action. Why are you still floating about major things in your life? Why? Because you're running away from examining yourself. Like I've said this like three times right now on this episode. Self-awareness takes courage. You have to stand up to yourself. Examine yourself. Keep a watch on yourself. Not a critical watch. Critical is not the word, because if you become too critical, it leads you to self-condemnation, and that is not what we're campaigning for. But you see, in this case, the people of Corinth actually had the gospel. They had the message, the good news of Jesus Christ, and yet they were committing sins that even an unbeliever, according to Paul, would not even commit. It was that outrageous. It was because they were not self-aware. They did not understand it. They had not even discovered themselves in Christ yet, how much less, you know, making use of that information of who they were. So you have to examine yourself to find out who you are in Christ, not just in the world, in Christ, not in yourself. Now, Galatians chapter 6 verse 3 points at self-deception caused by lack of awareness. One thing I like about this season on the podcast is that everything seems to have a relationship with the other. So it is in such a way that you can't listen to a new episode if you don't have knowledge of what the previous episodes have talked about. So just in case if you've not been following through, after this episode, just scroll up and start from the beginning and listen up so that it will make more sense to you. We talked about self-deception once in the season, and now we are seeing from Galatians chapter 6 verse 3 that self-deception is caused by lack of awareness. You see, when you don't even know who you are, you deceive yourself to be especially something that you are not, that you probably want to be or people want you to be. You understand that? So when we begin to put off finding the truth about who we are, what we want, our likes and dislikes, would rather find a suiting title to tag ourselves by, therefore deceiving ourselves. So the conclusion of the matter is that God wants you to be self-aware. And if you don't have an understanding of your place in God and in this world, you will be self-deceived. This is the point where I would say that if you have any questions or any comments or contact us via mail at thecrusadepodcast@gmail.com, or you can leave us a voice message if you are listening through the Anchor app. Follow us on social media at The Big Crusade on Facebook and Instagram. Please sign up to The Big Crusade newsletters if you have not. I've always said that there are lots of conversations going on there, and you really, really want to be be a part of it. Till next time, thank you so much for joining me on today's episode. I am so excited to have you to this point. My name is Chidera. Tell your friends about the Crusade.
This is the Crusade Forecast. On here, we talk about Christian lifestyle and how to keep your sanity in check. On the Crusade, our campaign is that the mental health of a Christian matters. We advertise attitudinal rebranding, and the Crusade offers you relatable stories, thought-provoking topics, life-changing conversations, and very relevant Bible solutions to aid you live your best life yet. Tell your friends about the Crusade. Thank you.